We're in the middle of Torah Yud Beis and Likutei Moran Tanina, the Torah that's called Ayei Mekayim Kavodai. The part that we're up to in our Likutei Morans, it's page 45, the left-hand column, about halfway down the column, the beginning of a paragraph where it says Shayach La'el. And obviously, this last paragraph now is going to be, it's not technically part of this chapter on Likutei Moran, it's something added on. Shayach La'el means that this is also associated with what we said before. This is going to be an additional drusha that Rabbeinu Zal said that pertains to this Torah, although it's not exactly on the track. In other words, it's something additional, an additional statement, quoting a Gemara and explaining it, which is going to further clarify what we learned so far on this Torah on Likutei Moran. Just to summarize for a minute or two what we had so far, Rabbeinu Zal started off emphasizing tremendously the sakona of a person following their own seichel. How Rabbeinu Zal said we find many cases in history where people, Rachmon al-Son, through their own seichel, were able to mess themselves up tremendously and to make very big mistakes. And just to go off on a tangent for a second, we see in Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal points out the fact that the whole power to be able to distinguish properly, for the mind to be able to function correctly and not to make mistakes. No, it's not where it seems like this is the correct answer, and it happens to be just the opposite is the correct answer. That whole power is totally in Shleimus HaSechel, in a brain that's intact. The only way the intactness of the brain is totally in Tikkun HaBris, because it's the oils of the brain that are related to the Bris Kodesh, the Zohar Kodesh, and all the other Sforim say, Siluka di Yisoida ad Abo Ve'ima, that basically, to paraphrase it a little, the effects of Yisoid go as high as Abo and Ima, which is another name for Chachma and Bina, which is another name for the brain. That the Yisoid affects what goes on in the brain, according to how pure, according to how much a person limits what he does with the Yisoid in terms of Tikkun HaBris, in terms of the eyes, thought, speech, and action, that's what determines how solid, how perfect his brain is. And unfortunately, because the very, very vast majority of the people of the world are not pure in that, therefore it's obvious that they have to know in advance that their meichen are pigumen, that their brains are not perfect and are very far from perfect, and therefore could mislead them terribly, where it could appear to you that you figured out that this is the right answer, and your figuring was totally wrong. You came up with you studied and looked, and it looks to you like this is the tzaddik, this is the one for you to follow, and oops, you missed by 180 degrees, a minor little turn that you're off. You know, you happen to pick the one that's chalek on the biggest tzaddik in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach, how hard was it to figure out who was the right one? It was difficult enough that the vast majority of geniuses in that day made a mistake. Why? Because with chachma, they couldn't necessarily figure it out. Rabbeinu Zal says that the Iker HaYahadus is to go with Pshitus and Tmimus. Then Rabbeinu Zal got into a whole discussion explaining how, just in very simple terms, the purpose of the creation of the whole world was the Kavod of Hashem, and when Hashem created the world, He created it with 10 statements. Each one of these 10 statements contains the Kavod of Hashem, and therefore, each and every single thing we do in this world, we have to see to it that it should heighten the kavod of Hashem. What's another word to use for heighten here? Publicity. To publicize, to make known the kavod of Hashem, that's the most basic form of increasing the kavod of Hashem that Rabbeinu Zal is referring to in this Torah, as we're going to see at the end. We're talking about hisgalus hakavod, revealing, spreading, notifying another Jew, another person in the world about the greatness of Hashem, or understanding the kavod of Hashem from another item, meaning this table exists. While it exists, there's no major kavod of Hashem coming from it. When I look at this table, when a human being, a yid, looks at this table and sees in this table something, a chachma, a wisdom, or a use that can bring him close to Hashem, and he sees Hashem in this table, he sees the chachma, the reason as to why Hashem created this table, and how it could be used to bring somebody closer to Hashem, that's when he's being megala, this, the kavod of Hashem, over one additional article in this world, called a table, period, and so on and so forth with every single item in creation. And Rabbi Nezal says, therefore, in the simplest of terms, before a person makes any decision in life to do something or not to do something, to say something or not to say something, to think something or not to think something, this is the question that has to be asked. Is the kavod of Hashem going to be in my doing this or saying this or thinking it? Then it's something I must do. And no matter how difficult it is and no matter how crazy it looks, I'll do it, and I'll do it to the best of my ability, and I'll be miser nefesh to be able to do it. And the opposite, if doing this, or saying this, or thinking this, is chas v'shalom going to lead to a decrease of the kavod of Hashem, a chil Hashem, or it's going to distance me from Hashem, or something like that, then just the opposite. I'll do everything in my power in the world, no matter how embarrassing it's going to be, no matter how difficult it is, to refrain, to hold back from thinking about this, or saying, making this cute joke that's going to embarrass somebody, chas v'shalom, or insult Hashem, or doing anything that would result in insulting Hashem. And Rabbi Nezal says that this I, the fact we're saying that the kavod of Hashem is in everything, what do we do with the pasuk that says, uchvoidi la'acher lo yetein? Hashem seems to imply that there are certain places, mekaymos of tuma, where Hashem will not allow his kavod to go there and be defiled by being there. Therefore, Hashem holds back his kavod from entering into those places. So it would appear that Hashem's glory is not to be found in those places. Rabbi Nezal says, chas v'shalom, because there'd be no way in the world for any location or person or article in this world to be able to exist without the presence of Hashem in it, meaning without the kavod of Hashem in it. Elamai, when it comes to these mekaymos hametunofim, these filthy places, or places of tumor, or places of avodah zarah, something like that, the kavod of Hashem is found there, but it's a very unique aspect of the kavod of Hashem. Just as the Gemara says that when Hashem created the world, there were 10 statements made, 9 of them were obvious statements, 1 was a hidden statement, 9 were megula, 1 is mechusa, 9 were where Hashem actually said, vayomer, vayomer, it says clearly, he said, 1 where it doesn't say vayomer, it just says, bereishis bara elokim, and the Gemara says that that's also a maimar, it's called maimar sosum, a hidden maimar. It's the kavod of Hashem from that hidden maimar that sustains all of these mekaymos hametunofim, all of these filthy places and places of sin and places of klipa, etc. Now, what level is this hidden kavod on? Rabbi Nezal says, unquestionably, that hidden kavod is the highest. Of all the 10 types of kavod, that hidden kavod is the highest. So that if we want to talk about these 10 levels, these 10 aspects of kavod, in terms of the spheros, which sphera is known as the hidden one, unquestionably? The keser, the crown. It's about the crown that the pasuk says, b'mechusa memcha, al tach, b'mufla memcha, al tachkor, b'mufla memcha, al tidrosh, b'mechusa memcha, al tachkor. In that which is wondrous from you, al tachkor, don't think about it, al tidrosh, don't discuss it, b'mechusa memcha, and in that which is hidden from you, al tachkor, don't delve into it. Just as Rabbi Nezal gives a warning in this Torah that we're not allowed to think about this concept too much, because this concept obviously pertains to the keser of Hashem. We're discussing the aspect of the kavod that's found within the crown of Hashem, which is that which is mechaya the mekaymos hametunofim, the goyim, all of those things, etc. Rabbi Nezal says that when a person falls into these places, when a person has this type of yerida or nefila in religion, where he falls very, very low, and he finds himself, chas v'shalom, in a mokoy metunof, this doesn't mean a location, this doesn't mean 42nd Street necessarily, although that's an example of a mokoy metunof, no question. Or a bathroom is an example of a mokoy metunof. But Rabbi Nezal says this could be in one's own mind. A person falls in his own mind, where his mind becomes a bathroom, Rahman al-Itzlan. His mind becomes devoid of Kiddusha, devoid of faith in Hashem. He suffers a yerido and a fila, where his emunah in Hashem becomes weak or absent, totally absent, chas v'shalom. Or his emunah sadikim becomes weak or totally absent. And Rabbi Nezal says, when a person falls like that, and he doesn't, as a result of this, he could say he stops believing completely. Therefore, it doesn't exist. Or he could say that it might exist somewhere else, but where I am, it doesn't exist, and therefore it doesn't pay for me to go looking for it. If a person says that, it's all over for him. Whereas Rabbeinu Zal says, if a person doesn't say that, they say the opposite of that. They say, Aye mekayem kevodoy, they scream, where is the kavod of Hashem? Implying, I know it exists. I know Hashem exists. And I know that there doesn't exist the possibility that I could wander far enough away from Hashem that Hashem can't reach out to me. Elamai, He's hidden from me. I believe that by screaming, Tzakosenu Yoidea Ta'alumais, by screaming, I'll get to reveal that which is hidden. I'll get to reveal the hidden cover of Hashem, which is even, no matter how low I am, He's there. He's right with me. From top to bottom, there isn't a place that's void of the cover of Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says, if a person does that, what does he hook on to? Does he hook on to any ordinary aspect of the Kavod of Hashem? Chas v'shalom. He hooks on to the Keser, the highest level of the Kavod of Hashem conceivable, and in one zetz, he can go from rock bottom to the incredible highest level. This is what we discussed till now, basically. And we said that hopefully in tonight's shiur, we're going to finish up this last paragraph. Plus, we're going to discuss a paragraph in the Kisvei Arizal that seems to discuss something that you couldn't imagine would have any effects lemaisa, and we're going to find how the Arizal's discussion in Kabbalah parallels identically what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here. Then, hopefully, we're going to start getting involved in the Likutei Halachos on this Torah, which is just spectacular. Shayach Le'el, Rabbeinu Zal says, this pertains to what we discussed till now. V'zeh bechinois, Rabbeinu Zal says, whatever we discussed till now also pertains to a Yerushalmi in Tainus. The Gemara says over there that one of the rabbis of the Gemara once said, Im yoyimar lecho odom, heichon elikecho, if a person ever asks you, where is Hashem? That's his question, heichon elikecho, which is very similar to Aye mekayim kevodoy, toimar loy, tell him, bikrach godoil shel roimi. In the big city of Rome, that's where Hashem is. This is a statement in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, shegam shom, even there, shemaleim gilulim vavoidezoro, which is the center of idol worship for the world, the Vatican City, the ikar avi avois hatoma, the world, Gam shom mustar hu yisborachana. Even there, Hashem is hidden. Hashem's kavod is found there. It's just that it's hidden. Rabbeinu Zal says now, the haklal, and the rule is, the very important rule is, kishenoyfei l'sham chas v'shalom, when a person falls to that low level, to which we attribute this title, Krach Godel Sheberoimi, he falls into a very low pit in terms of religion. Now remember, this could be physically. Rachmanal Tzlan, a person finds himself in a Mokoim of Tumah. In this world, there's a lot of Mokoimois of Tumah, Rachmanal Tzlan. Or this could be mentally. A person finds himself in a state of Yerida, where he could be standing in Eretz Yisrael by the Kaisel Maravi, and he feels so far from Emunah, Rachmanal Tzlan, as though he was standing in the Vatican City. His body is here, and his brain is over there, Chas V'shon. Rabbeinu Zal says, Azai then, Kishemaschil Levakesh, Aye Mokoim Kevoidoi, when the person begins to search and to request, Aye mekayim kevodoy, where is the kavod of Hashem? Bozeh hu mechaye es atzmoy michius hakdusha. That search alone hooks up a pipe from him to the generators of Kiddusha, for him to be able to start drawing new life of Kiddusha. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, Ki chiyus haklipois hu rak meha hastora, because the whole chiyus of the klipois comes only from the hiddenness. Ma shenistar Hashem yisporach shom betachles hahastora, from the fact that Hashem is hidden in a certain place, in an incredibly hidden way, ad she'ein yodin mimenu yisporach klal, to the extent where looking over there, you could just about not see Hashem. Hashem is just about invisible in this place because it's so tamei. That's what gives the klipa is the power to be able to be nourished. Avol tekev kishem avakshim ayim ekayim kevoidoi. But when a person finds himself in such a place, the moment he begins to search, Rabbeinu Zal says, "Nimtzo sheyoidin al kol ponim sheyesh Elokai Yisborach." That proves that he's acknowledging Hashem, that he's saying there is Hashem, that he's not saying that because I don't see Hashem, it must be there's no Hashem. He's defaulting to the Emunah. He says, "I believe, even though I don't see it all, I believe it 100%. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ubos rak nistor v'nelam." It's just that Hashem is very hidden. V'alkein mevakshin ayim ekayim kevoidoi, and therefore he begs, "Where is the cover of Hashem?" But ubos bi'atzmoi mechaya atzmoi b'mokim minefilosai. With that act of beginning to search, that alone gives him chias in his place of nefila to be able to pull himself out. Ki aye hu bechinois maimar sosum. This term aye represents this 10th hidden statement of creation, this bereshis, which refers to rachis is chokhma. The base of bereshis refers to the keser here, this super, super high level of kedusha. Shehem mekablen chiyus mishom, that that's where the klipos draw their chiyus from. They can draw their nourishment from normal levels of kedusha, as we explained last week. When Hashem wanted to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, what level of kedusha had to go down to Mitzrayim to be able to pull the Jews out? Could it be any ordinary representative of kedusha? Could it be a malach? Could it be a saraf? Could it be an oifan? No. To be able to go down to the lowest form of tumah, you needed Hashem himself. You needed the highest level of Kedusha. That's the only one that's capable of going that far down and being able to disseminate just enough chiyus to the klipos to keep them totally, totally in control and be able to keep things going over there and be able to achieve over there what it has to. In that case, it was the taking of the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. It necessitated a he'ora of keser, of this maimar sosum, of this super hidden light. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Avol hu mechayes atzmoi bebechinas chiyus hakdush." Rabbeinu Zal says, "Rak shechiyus haklipos hu mehastora." It's just that the chiyus of the klipos is also from this hastora. "Avol hu mechayes atzmoi bebechinas chiyus hakdush shebamokim nefilosoi aydei habakosha vachipus shemechapes ayim koyim kvoide kanal." But this person who fell there, he gives himself new life in the form of chiyus of kedusha in this place that he's fallen into. How? Through this search of Ayei Mekayim Kevoidai. V'achakach, and afterwards, Zoyche la'alois misham legamri el hakedusha bi'atzma. After that, he's zoyche to exit from that low place, to enter into the kedusha itself. Note, we still call that a place of tumah, although it has this hidden light of Hashem there, this highest hidden light of Hashem. Basically, it's referred to as a makom of tumah, and the mission of the Jew is to pull himself out of there, just to draw on that while he's there. But then to be able to pull himself out of there and pull himself into the regular avenues of kedusha, dehainu, the places where Hashem's kavod is to be found in a more obvious way. Because the main holiness is, what's the ikar kedusha? That the kavod of Hashem should be revealed, not to keep it hidden. The ikar kedusha is to be mefarsem umegale the kavod of Hashem. Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen v'amen. Blessed is Hashem forever. Amen v'amen. With this, we complete this chapter on Likutei Moran. The next, if you turn the page, the next paragraph in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to leave for now. The next paragraph just makes note of the fact that this chapter on Likutei Moran that we just learned, plus some of those that we're about to learn, are all based on a series of Gemaras in the Masechta Shabbos, a fantastic Agadata, where the Gemara says over there that Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Huda, when he saw Rabbi Huda in a very, very good mood, He saw him in a fantastic good mood, and he said, I see that he's in such a frame of mind that if I ask him any question in the world, the deepest question, I'm going to get the answer right now. And the Gemara starts, oh, he started asking him funny questions. Why is this one's tail? Why is this animal's tail long? Why is this animal's tail short? He started asking what would seem to be ridiculous questions. In those questions was hidden incredible secrets of Torah that we're about to see, that were about, number one, that pertain to this chapter in the Kutumran that we just learned, and to these subsequent chapters that we're going to have soon. We're going to discuss this as we continue. For now, I'd like to pause here. We'll take questions if there are any. And then we're going to go into the Kisvei Arizal. Then we're going to go into the Likutei Halachos to start understanding more applications of this Torah.
Rabbi Arizal says here that saying, Ayim Kem Kavod is the highest thing. And why do we see, on the other hand, that when Goyim mock the Jews, they say, Ayin, where's your Hashem? And also, Chas V'Shalom, people say about the six men,
The answer is, there's two ways of making this statement. There's a way of saying this to prove Chas V'Shalom that there's no Hashem. Look at this. So where is Hashem? Chas V'Shalom, there is no Hashem. You understand? Because these people, when a situation arises where it looks as though the covet of Hashem was hidden, in other words, it looks like if this could happen, it means that there's no Hashem. If you're going to tell me that there's Hashem who's so perfect and so good and everything he does is for the good, I, with my big brain, I know that there's no way in the world that there could have been any good in this, therefore. So therefore, there is something that happened that had no good in it at all. Therefore, there's no Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, something like that. So their saying of where is the Kavod of Hashem is being used as an excuse to say there is no Kavod of Hashem. Rabbi Nizal here is talking about a person who's in a state of Nefila, and he's not saying this mockingly. He's not saying this as a fact. He's saying, I am a kaim kevoidai, yelling, I know it is. I know it is. I know there is such a thing, and I know there is Hashem, and I know that I believe that Hashem is everywhere. It's just I find myself in such a mud now, in such a yerida, that all I can do, in other words, when you're near me and I want to talk to you slowly, I talk low, you know, or I talk moderate. When I'm looking for miles around and I don't see you, but I know you're there, what do? I scream, where are you? You know, that kind of scream. That's what Rabbeinu Zal is referring to here. So it's when the Goyim say these words, Ayeinu Elokeinu, they're saying it as the Tachlis HaKfira. When a Yid says this with a Lev Nishbor, where he's saying, I do believe, and my saying, I am Mekayim Kevoidei, is proof that I believe that there is, otherwise I wouldn't be saying, where is he? That's what could lead him to the highest Kiddusha. You understand? And when does that come about? B'davka Rachmanis Lan, when there are such incidents. Just as we mentioned, there's a whole piece in the Likutei Halachos in Hilchos Shluchim at the end, where he goes into a whole discussion that whenever there were these pogroms where it seemed that the Kavod of Hashem was totally, you know, how could Hashem let this happen? Thousands of Jews killed. And when, on a day that the Zohar Kodesh said Mashiach is supposed to come, how could that be? The answer is, Elo Velo Dirilikim Chaim. It's the fact that Mashiach was supposed to come on that day. There was supposed to be an incredible Hizgalus of the Kavod of Hashem. Because something was missing that the Hizgalus couldn't happen, there still had to be this incredible Kavod of Hashem, just it couldn't be Begilui. How did it have to be? Behester. How does this Kavod of Hashem come out Behester? Rachmona Litzlan, in people dying Al Kiddush Hashem and certain other things like that, as we are going to explain.
So besides for that reason, if people come up with, although a person shouldn't indulge in these conversations, but it's the rabbis...
100%. That's the hidden kavod of Hashem that we don't understand. In other words, we just understand that which we can quote from the Sforim HaKdoshim that explain this. For example, in the Kisvei Arizal, one of the most outstanding subjects, like in terms of high level, is where he discusses the Asara Harugei Malchus. And there he says that they reached such a high level of Kedusha that every single day when we say Nefilas Sapayim, you know, when we fall on our face, and we're going to discuss that in more detail soon, we're hooking up to them. In other words, our whole yearning is to hook up to that door that they opened up. with their dying Al Kiddush Hashem, this gang of 10 together who represented the Asara Mamores and the, you know, etc., etc. The Arizal, yeah. This is a whole super, most of our references it a few times in the Kutei Halachos, but I saw mention it in a lot of Sfarim. I saw it in Bnei Yisrael or other Sfarim. They all, whenever they mention this, you know, Kemuva B'Kisri Arizal, Alinyan Asad Harugi Malchias, that they reached up to the Keser, and that whenever we hook up to the Keser, we're hooking up to them in what they hit up, you know, over there.
Is this a common thing where if some tzaddik opens up a door that you have to go to that tzaddik who opened it in order to go through it?
Most definitely.
For instance, it's mentioned that Yosef at tzaddik and another tzaddikim were successful in particular conquests over the Yitzhara. Is it likely that, or is it suggestible to hook up to them?
Most definitely. That's why we say the Harini Mikasha. That's literally what we're doing. Before we do any mitzvah, Harini Mikasha asks me, L'chol tzadik mamitim shavdereinu, L'chol tzadik mamitim shavdereinu, L'chol tzadik mamitim shavdereinu, L'chol tzadik mamitim. Our kavon is that each one of these tzadikim opened doors. They opened, Pischol Yishar, Zeh Hashar L'Hashem tzadikim. We quote from the Baal Shem Tov, right? That the gate that leads to Hashem is tzadikim. Each tzadik opens up a unique door. The tzadik who was koilel all other tzadikim, is Rabbi Nazal. Ubefrat la Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga zechat tzadik vekodesh l'rocha susayim al Yisrael, because he's the tzadik of all tzadikim. He's the one who represents all of them wrapped into one. Moshe, Yosef, David, which represents all 10 spheroids. We once said that Moshe represents the 3 upper spheroids, the Shin, Mo. Yosef represents the 6 lower spheres, because Yosef is 6 times Yud Kei Vav Kei. David represents the Malchus, so these 3 tzaddikim represent the whole gamut of the spheres. You understand? Moshe Rabbeinu is the upper 3, Yosef is 6, and David is the Malchus, gives us a total of 10. Moshe, Yosef, David, with the Kolel, is Begematria Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga. Showing this tzaddik was the one who incorporated the kiddush of all of them. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest thing was the chachma, the Torah, the knowledge. You look in Rabbeinu's teachings in Breslov culture, one of the pillars of Breslov culture is the chachma, the Torah. The Likut Imran begins with the words Da'ak Ya'ideh HaTorah Neskablon Kolat Filais. We have a Likut Imran, a Likut Alochos, a Sipurei Maisis, a Sefer Amidos. The greatest revelations in Torah that exist in this world exist within the culture called Rabbi Nachman Breslov. The Yosef HaTzadik represents the union of Tikkun HaBris. The union of Tikkun HaBris, as presented within the culture of Breslov HaSidus, is on a higher level than it existed anywhere, everywhere else. The revelation of the Tikkun HaKloli, the revelation in depth of what Mikveh means, what Hiskashrus to a Tzadik means in terms of Tikkun HaBris, the whole bringing out of the significance of this topic of Tikkun HaBris, this is where it's at. And Dovid HaMelech, who represents the Ne'im Zemirois Yisrael, who represents the Tachlis HaShleimus in Tefillah, for that we have a Likutei Tefillos, for that we have a revelation of the concept of Hispeidus, and all the revelations that Rabbeinu Zal did in respect to Tefillah. So this is how, when we're Mekashra ourselves to Rabbeinu Zal, what we're doing in essence is, we're thereby being Mekashra ourselves to the one who represents the umbrella of all Tzadikim, you know, B'Shleimus.
How do you respond to people who say that by hooking up to a tzaddik who supposedly opens up the door, that you're, in a sense, impeding or not focusing on Hashem Echad, on the concept of Hashem Echad, that you don't require any
say that there's about 10 billion Gemaras that say otherwise. For example, the Gemara says when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews on Har Sinai and they went direct, they died twice in the process. And then the Jews collectively said to Hashem, please no more. We see we're not capable of getting it direct from you. We must have this intermediate. Elamai, in this is a very delicate point in religion. It's very easy to make a mistake and to take this one step out of context or something like that and present this concept of a tzaddik or a rebbe in a form that constitutes kfira, that's disrespect to Hashem. That's one side of the coin. Well, the other side is the highest respect Hashem conceivable in giving respect to a tzaddik. The Zohar HaKadosh says Hashem is much, much more sensitive and particular about respect for a tzaddik than he is for his own respect. And the Zohar HaKadosh proves it. So you want to talk about intermediaries, you're wrong. Hashem is the intermediary between us and the tzaddik. We picture the tzaddik as being kaviyachal in some ways above Hashem. Who said so? Hashem himself. There's a Gemara in Chagiga that says, quotes a pasuk, Tzadik Meishel B'Yiras Elokim, that Hashem gives the Tzadik the power to rule over him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gezer V'Tzadik Mevatel. Who's bigger, the one who can nullify the other one's decree or not? The Gemara says it's the Tzadik that can nullify the Hashem's decree and not vice versa. Rabbi Shimon Yochai issued a decree and he told the Malach, you're coming from Hashem, you better go back there, otherwise you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And that was how the story ended. He beat Hashem, Kaviyochel. Hashem sent the Malach down to destroy the world. Rabbi Shimon Yochai disapproved and he overrode the decision. With what power? The power that Hashem himself gave to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal. This power of Memshola over Hashem, Kaviyochel. The Gemara says this in Psochem. The Gemara says, Lamanatzeach Mizmor. What's Lamanatzeach Mizmor? Zamru Lami Shemenatzchen Oisoi V'Sameach. Give praise to the Hashem who loves when they're victorious over him. When the Tzadikim win, they beat him. That's when Hashem has a fight with them. Hashem says, let me kill them. The Tzadik says, no way, over my dead body. And the Tzadik wins. That's what Hashem loves tremendously.
Like I said, about 200 people or so were killed with the one curse. But were the majority of the other people, like, had all fallen to a certain degree? Like,
there were many that were misled. There were many that were zecher to be on the side of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it seems that the majority of the leaders were misled. The 250 Roshei Sanhedrois, that wasn't 250 ordinary people. They're called 250 heads of Sanhedrin. Elitzer ben Shter v'chaverov, the Gemara says. You know, these were the leaders.
The ordinary people, what happened to them?
It seems there were some that were on the wrong side, some that were on the right side. A pagan, for sure.
It's really mentioned something before about these people who try to find reasons for the Holocaust. Does that include also the infirm rabbis that they try to show how everybody was becoming a gun from, so it was like it was ever a punishment? Rabbi Tal wants a little bit that when Jews started
assimilating.
It's
true, but you have to be very careful when you do that. Because you have to be very careful in doing analysis on why Hashem gives a punishment. The only ones who are authorized to do that are very, very big tzaddikim. Otherwise, we just have to be quiet. Unless we get an explanation from a big tzaddik, mum's the word.
So then we were very cautious, even big learned people in the literature world who would even like write essays on this or preach to their congregations about it.
100%. You have to be careful. You have to be careful.
Is there a connection between this Maimer Sasum and the fact that Balei Tshuva, since they were in those places, and in some sense they were able to draw out? And
most definitely. In other words, there's no question at all that this chapter on the Likutei Moran is one of the taiches of that Gemara. There's a Gemara that says, "B'mokim shebalei tshuva imdem ein tzadikim gemurim yachaylem lamay." That the level that Balei Tshuva on is a level that a tzadik gomor is not on. How does a Baal Tshuva have an advantage over a Tzadik Gomor? The answer is that that moment that he does Tshuva, he suddenly zips up, he hooks on to a very extraordinary level of the Kavod of Hashem that's not normally available. You know, Tzadikim are working within the normal framework of the Sphira, is this, that. At best, they're dealing with Netzach, and Chol Yisrael, Chesed, Gvura, Chochma, Bina. Keser is like way, way out. And it's Baal Tshuva, one who has fallen to a very low place. When he wants to hook up to Hashem, the only part that he can hook onto is the Keser. That's the Chiddush. And that's why you'll notice even Lamaisa, how is it that we see sometimes that the fervor that a Baal Tshuva puts into Avodah, into Tefillah, this, that, is something that we see tzaddikim, regular tzaddikim, can't mimic it, can't, it's like, you see that he's different. What gives him the advantage? The answer is, al pi Kabbalah, this is what gives him the advantage. He's hooking on to something much higher up. Because he fell low, the only aspect that a Kavod of Hashem that he could possibly hook on to is this highest, as we're going to prove now from the mathematician. We're going to go to the engineer of the 10th sphere, the one who knows everything about it. Let's get his opinion on the situation. Watch how he explains what happens when we do an Avera and the whole bit. We'll see if what he says conforms identically with what Rabbeinu Zal says. We're going to take, again, I want to make it very clear, We're not Mikubolim here. We're not Bekiyim and Kisvei Arizal. We're quoting this now because Rav Nachman Shigarinzal in the Parporos L'Chochma on this Sefer references this piece of the Kisvei Arizal, this paragraph, and it is understandable, it is explainable, and it has a very, very significant meaning on what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here. That's why we're going to try to explain this piece now. This is found in the Sefer Mavui Sha'orim, which is one of the Shmoneh Sha'orim, one of the eight shars that the Arizal wrote, of the Kisvei Arizal, where it discusses a lot of very deep concepts of Kabbalah. We're going to take a very simple, Chas V'Shalom, nothing here is simple, but we're going to take a piece that's understandable on our level and just try to apply it to what we learned here now. The Arizal here is talking about the fact, the Arizal says, V'hine ein shlitas hachitzainim v'haklipois elo b'ze'er v'nukva. Basically, when we talk about the ten spheroids, they're divided into four groups. Abba, Ima, Ze'er, and Nukva. These are four nicknames of the ten spheroids. Meaning, Abba is a nickname for Chachma, Ima, Abba is father, Ima is mother, Ze'er means Ze'er Anpin, it's short for Ze'er Anpin, which is the small faces, referring to the smaller spheroids, the lower level spheroids. When we discuss the two groups, the three upper ones and the seven lower ones, the seven lower ones are part of Ze'er Anpin, as they're called collectively, and Ze'er Anpin is divided into two groups, Duchra of Ze'er Anpin, the Zohar of Ze'er Anpin, and Nukva de Ze'er Anpin, the female representation of Ze'er Anpin, which is called, sometimes it's referred to as two separate groups of seven spheroids each. Sometimes we refer to it as the six spheroids of Chesed through Yesod are referred to as Ze'er Anpin. The Malchus, the tenth sphera, is referred to as Nukva de Ze'er Anpin. That's the terminology that's used sometimes. The Arizal says, V'hine ein shlitas hachitzainim v'haklipois elo b'ze'er v'nukva sheheim hanikro shivas yimei bereshis. When we talk about the klipois, or the forces of Tumah, having being able to latch on to Kedusha and draw from it, they can only draw from the seven lower spheroids, not from the three upper ones. That's totally out of their league. Asher bohem nivra ha'olam. It's with these seven lower spheroids that the world was created with, basically. Ukemoy shamar akosuv, as the pasuk says, omarti olam chesed yibone. Hashem said, I said the world should be created with chesed, implying me chesed vo'elech, from the sphere of chesed and downward. That's the domain in which the creation of the world took place in. Sheheim hashivo tachtoinois. This refers to the seven lowest spheroids. Sheheim hazayin hamalochim haniskorim. This refers to the seven kings that are discussed at the end of Parshas Beshalach, a whole discussion that we had that's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah. Vahatam, what's the reason for this? Ki haloi ze'er v'nukva hein b'nei abo v'ima. Ze'er and nukva are referred to as the children of Abba and Ima, Chochma and Bina. That's the terminology that's used. This is not in any literal sense whatsoever. This is the manner in which this is discussed in these Sforim. V'chol hanivroim, all created items, v'anachnu Amo Yisrael kulanu, and us, the entire Jewish nation, noitzarnu al yedei ze'er v'nukva, were created through Ze'er and Nukva, va'anachnu b'neihem, and we are considered their children, the children of Ze'er v'Nukva. K'moy shekosev, as the pasuk says, bonim atem l'Hashem alikeichem, you are the children of Hashem. The Arizal here is saying that this refers to us, the Am Yisrael, and the whole Bria is considered children of these products, children of these seven lower spheroids that are called Ze'er v'Nukva. Upigam habonim magim ba'avoisehem, the pigamim that the children do affect their parents, shehem ze'er v'nukva, which are ze'er v'nukva. In this case, we're referring to the parents of Bria as being ze'er v'nukva, v'lo yoyser l'malo, and not further up. This is what's being said here. Now, there's a footnote right here that elaborates on this. What we're saying here is not the whole story. Again, we're just quoting a certain paragraph in the Kisei Arizal. There's a lot more to say about this. We're just quoting what pertains to us. As the Pasuk says, "Ubepishachem shulcho imchem," that because of your sins, your mother was sent out into exile, referring to this nukva de zeranpin. V'nemar, there's another Pasuk that says, "Kitzipor noidedes min kone, hi hamalchus, kein ish noided zehakodesh baruchu, kenizkar bereish tikunim," that just as a bird wanders from her nest, so too a man wanders, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, this refers to the nukva and the duchra, kaviyochol, the zeranpin and the nukva de zeranpin that are forced to go into exile, that are affected by our pegomen. Ha'umnom, however, bitchila, in the beginning, magia ha'pegam betachtoina. The pegam begins when we do something wrong, chas v'shalom. Where does it start affecting? It starts taking effect on bottom, meaning hi ima, by the mother. Now, it's in this case, we're referring to the malchus as the mother of Klal Yisrael. Kemo shekosav, as the pasuk says, ubepishachem shulcho imchem. Through your sins, your mother is sent into exile. That's the one that's affected first, the malchus, which we're calling the mother here. Uksiv, there's another pasuk, uben ksiv, that if there's a foolish child, it's the mother that's affected by it. But if the pigam is a big pigam, it reaches even up to the father, he zeranpin, which in this case we're referring to as zeranpin, which refers to the spheroids above it, the six above the malchus. Now we come to the punchline. Vehine gam bi'imenu yesh hefresh. Even when it comes to the mother, it's not all one and the same. Even within the mother, which we're referring to the malchus here, the malchus also has its own series of 10 spheroids. We mentioned many times, each one of the spheroids has its own breakdown of 10, just like we say when we count sfira soimer, chesed shebechesed, gvura shebechesed, tefera shebechesed, and so on and so forth. The malchus itself has its own listing of 10 levels within its own domain. And the Arizal explains, Kiyesh pigam sheyucha lifkoim b'chelik hayud hatachtoin shebo. There is a pigam, a lighter type of pigam that a Jew could do, that affects the 10th level within the malchus. Uksiv, and there's a pasuk which says, Ki loy keel chofetz resha ato lo yigur charo. You are a Hashem who doesn't like bad. You don't accept bad. Uksiv, and there's a pasuk that says, Uchvoidi la'acher lo yetein. I will not give my kavod to the other side. V'ulakach, and therefore, loy cholak ha'kavod ha'hu lo'acher. Therefore, Hashem will not allow that portion of his kavod to be given away to the acher, to the sitra achra, shehu haklipa elikim acherim, which is the klipa elikim acherim, loy et nenu loy. Hashem says, I will not give it to him. V'hu yochoil hiskariv shon bedin gomor. It's true that the satan, the powers of tumah, can get close to that through the Averis of the Jew, Bedin Gomer, when there's complete din, Machmas Avoinais Yisrael, that's generated by the sins of the Jews, V'oz, what happens then is, V'oz, Muchroch Hachelikahu Lehistalik Misham. What happens is, the Kovod of Hashem that's found in this bottom level within the Malchus, this 10th level within the Malchus, when the Satan or the Klippas try to come close to there, the Kovod of Hashem is forced to float up and away, out of their reach. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Uchvoidi la'acher lo yetein, that Hashem is saying that there are certain aspects of my kavod that I will not give away to the other guy. Therefore, if the other guy approaches and tries to get it, it'll float away from him. It'll float out of his reach. He won't have access to it. The Arizal says, "Va'oz muchroch hachelach ahul istalik misham ulehiskaso ismeinehem," and to become hidden from their eyes, from the eyes of the klipos of the satan, levalyin komimenu, so that the klipos should not be able to draw from that aspect of the kavod of Hashem. V'zeh shekosuv, the Arizal says, this is what's written in the pasuk, ba'kese liyayim chagenu, that there's a time when the kavod of Hashem goes into hiding, liyayim chagenu. What is liyayim chagenu there? Rosh Hashanah. What is Rosh Hashanah? Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is a day of super din. At the time of super din, the Kavod Hashem goes into hiding so that the klipos should not be able to be yoinik from it. When this din, super din, that's brought about by our averos, that allows the klipos to start approaching the Kiddusha, when they start coming close to this address called the 10th level within the Malchus, what happens is as soon as Kaviyocho, the Kavod Hashem, sees them coming, it floats up into hiding out of their reach. On Rosh Hashanah, this is reflected by the concept of a Levona, which represents the Malchus, going into hiding on Rosh Hashanah. Now the Arizal explains, V'yesh pigam, there's another pigam, a higher level pigam, a worse pigam, she'oile yoiser ad hayesoi, which affects, which would possibly give the Satan access to be able to go up to the second floor, to the yesoid within the Malchus, to the second level within, remember, this whole discussion we're going to have now is just within the Malchus, the 10 floors within the Malchus. Shehu hachelik hates shebo. That's the 9th level within the 10 levels of the Malchus. Va'oz, what happens then? Mistalkin lamalo hates v'hayud. When a yid does a pigam, which chas v'shalom gives access to the satan to be able to hit the yisoid, when the kedusha sees the satan coming, Tes, levels Tes and Yud will exit. The Kavod of Hashem that's found there floats up out of their reach so that they should not be able to grab onto it. Because it's about those level of Kavod that it's written in the Pasuk, Uchvoidi la'acher lo yetein. The Arizal continues, V'chein ki yoytze boze, yesh begam shiyochoy lesalik ulahavir, Tes hachalochim hatachtoinois sheba malchus michochmo sheba ulamato, and so on and so forth. There are different levels of pigamim that we could do that could cause the kavod of Hashem within the 9 lower levels of the malchus to exit. Ach, but chelik ho'elyoin sheba shehu hakeser, the highest level within the malchus, the keser of the malchus. Efsher lehistalik. It is impossible for that, for the kavod of Hashem, to leave that address. Why? Ki muchrachu ligiyos hasfirois mispar asoro. The spheroids must always be 10. The kavod of Hashem must be found within these 10 spheroids. You can't get away from that, no matter what. Therefore, v'hamalchus imohem. The malchus must be included within the domain of 10 spheroids that belong to Hashem. She'im loikein, if chas v'sholem. That would not be the case. Hu kotzutz uporud chas v'sholem. If the kavod of Hashem would leave the malchus completely, would leave all 10 levels within the malchus, chas v'sholem, that would constitute a pirud in Hashem, and we know Hashem Echod Ushma Yechod. So if all 10 spheroids are part of the one, there's no way in the world for any one of them to be broken away completely. V'nim says, therefore, Hamalchus shenismato tes chalokeha tahatachtoinim. This Malchus, from which the 9 lower levels have become diminished because the Kavod of Hashem is exited from there, asher lihiyosam tachtoinim, because they are lower levels, yecholin lehisachis bohem haklipos, it would have been possible for the klipos to grab onto them, v'lochein mistalkin, therefore their reaction when they see the klipos coming is that they leave, they exit, omnom hakeser shebo, however the keser of the Malchus, Einoi nistalik le'olam, that never leaves, ki ein kolkach shlito v'achizas haklipos, because that much power the klipos definitely do not have. V'nisharo besoid hachelik ho'asiri shebo shehu hakeser. Therefore, when there is, Rachmana Litzlan, this situation with his tremendous sin, tremendous klipa, tremendous tuma, what will always remain is the keser of the Malchus. The other 9 parts can leave. The keser of the Malchus will always be there. Va'oz hi besoid l'chi umat yesatzmech. And then the status of the Malchus is represented by the posik l'chi umat yesatzmech. It's become very small, very tiny. However, it's still there. Which aspect of it is still there and will never leave? The keser of the Malchus. V'hovein zeh, the Arizal says, understand this well. Shegam im yisachsu bo haklipois beridat olamado b'neihem, even if the klipois will attach themselves to the malchus, when the malchus goes down among them, besoid ragleho yordos moves, as the pasuk says, ragleho yordos moves, that the feet of kedusha, which is another nickname for the malchus, does go down among the klipois, still, Eino mizbateles b'neihem. The malchus never becomes mizbotel among them. Masha'im keinim hoyo chas v'sholem eze chelek achar meha malchus. Versus what would happen if it were any other aspect of the malchus. Ki beridit toi b'neihem, if any other aspect of the malchus would go down among the klipois, other than the keser, Yechrav ha'olam, the world would be destroyed. Ki in kumisham yoser midai, because the klipos would be able to draw from it more than is their correct portion. V'yisachsu boi haklipos achiza gedoila, and the klipos would be able to have a tremendous hooking on to it. Therefore, whenever the malchus, whenever we discuss this concept of the malchus going down among the klipos to be mavarni tzitzos, which aspect of the malchus goes down? Only the keser of the malchus. That's the only one that's permitted to, because that's the only one that's holy enough that can ensure that it's well enough protected that the klipos should not be able to draw more than they're supposed to. All of this sounds like, in a sense, chas v'shalom, we don't mean to make fun, but to people like us, this sounds like hocus pocus. You know, what does this have to do with me as a Jew? Now, you take a look into the Likutei Moran, and we see exactly what this has to do with me being a Jew. This is the concept that Rabbeinu Zal is presenting here, that you should know that when each and every one of us commits sins, Rachman Olzon, we do pegamim, which causes the kavod of Hashem to leave from us. We can actually cause the kavod of Hashem from different spheres, from different midas, to exit, to leave, where it goes into hiding, where just as it's not accessible to the klipos, to the tumah, which are hooked up to us now, it's not accessible to us either in terms of kiddusha. If we want to do tshuva, we can't do tshuva anymore via the netzach of malchus, or via the hoid, because they ran away. They saw that the klipos have attached themselves to us now, and we're in such a sensitive position that if we would try to hook on to the netzach sheba malchus, the klipos that are part of us would also hook on, and it could be tremendous sakona. Therefore, what happens is, as a result, the only trace of kedusha that's left for the Baal Tshuva to grab onto is the keser of the malchus. That's the only part that never leaves. That's the part that can go down bein haklipos and do all its playing around there and doesn't have to be afraid at all of being affected. Because that's this Oyer HaNe'elam, that's this super high level of Kedusha that's impenetrable, that's unalterable, it can't be harmed in any way. This is the side of B'mokim Shebalei Tshuva. This is the side of Ayin Mekayim Kevodai. That when a person finds himself in a tremendous Choshech, why is it Choshech there? Because the Kavod Hashem has actually vacated the location where he's at. Whatever he would want to hook up to, whatever steps on, it's gone. It's not there anymore. It doesn't live here anymore. There's a sign up, Chas V'Shalom, doesn't live here anymore. The only aspect of Kedusha that always lives there, way on bottom, on the ground floor, the only aspect that never leaves is the Keser. So that if you're on a low enough level where you've caused it to leave from all the other places, if you do attempt to make a return, the only thing you'll be able to grab onto happens to be the highest aspect of Kedusha, called the Keser.
So the person, he causes his art to leave.
Right.
So I thought originally when you were reading that that's a good thing, because this way the klipos don't attach.
Chas v'shalom. In other words, we're saying it's a bad thing, because the best thing is that the kavod of Hashem should be nizgala all over. Umalchusai bakoil mashallah. It's bad in that you're causing the Kavod of Hashem to vacate a certain area because you've made that area into a bathroom, into a makom pogim, about which the pasuk is written,
Chvoide lachar lo yeteng. So like, if you would, as we do, say like 10 spheres sort of like apply to each individual person,
correct,
is saying that Chas v'shalom, you could cause that Ar of Hashem to leave you and that...
Exactly, exactly. To what extent? 9/10. There's a certain Oyer of Hashem, which if you go very low, you'll knock out the Kavod of Hashem within 10 levels of Yisrael, within 9 levels. But the Keser, you'll never knock out. So that should you ever decide to return, at the time that you're attempting to return, the only thing for you to grab onto happens to be the Keser.
And And is it that the Kesser is not attackable because it's so hidden? Is
exactly, exactly. It's so high. We say, in other words, even mitzat pshat, we say that the more hidden something is, the more of a bracha there is, you understand? The more protected it is. Even the Gemara mentions this concept. But al pisoid, because it represents such a high level of kedusha, the klipos cannot, it's untouchable, it's unaffectable, it's unharmable.
So we have another pair of organs that talks about a star and a star.
Correct.
Like you have this kedusha in you, and but it's so nistar you don't even know.
Correct.
So like you, is that why? What sometimes you may need, let's say, a tzaddik or a rebbe to wake you up that there is.
What's exactly, there? Because what's another name for a tzaddik? This Or HaNe'elam. A tzaddik is a form of hidden light. Because what's the whole greatness of a tzaddik? His anova, his hiddenness. V'hachochmo me'ayin temotze. His keser, his willingness to go through bizyonos and shvichas domim, that's what gives him this power to reveal the keser. To be mamshech, this kapora, this highest kapora, this v'ish chochom yechaprena. Why? Because v'hachochmo me'ayin temotze. Ayin is keser. The tzaddik is the one who has access to the keser. How? Through his bitul, through his saying, I'm nothing, and really, really meaning it, he literally reaches this level called keser, which can be mechaper anything, which can take any metunof and pogrom, it can go down. That's why the tzaddik is permitted to go down to the lowest places. Rabbi Zal uses that verbiage. What does that make him? Because he's the keser. That's why Rabbi Zal once said the words keser teira. Keser is the word shish. Just a second. Shish. We say in the Aliyas to the Torah, shishi, which represents the sixth, which is Yesod Tzadik. Shishi is Bigamakriya Keser, showing how these two are one and the same. That you want to know what the Oyer of the Tzadik is, he's the Bechinas Shishi, the Bechinas of Keser. You know, and again, you could imagine we're just opening doors here now. You could imagine what there is to say about this.
Does this explain what Rabbi Zal said in the Shir once, that somebody has to do tshuva, it's like the hay, he can't come from the bottom, he has to go through the top.
Exactly. That's another representation of it. That he falls out from this level, he wants to come back, it's from a much, much higher level, and it's a tiny opening, it's hidden, where the hardest part is like to find the opening. As Rabbi Zal brings in Torah, testing the Kutim Aran, you need the oil of Emes to be able to find the opening. You know, that whole Torah, Tzorah, Tassalat, etc.
Who is Emes in this structure?
Emes, on one hand, is a nickname for Tiferes, but we could explain and show how Emes represents Keser. The fact that the word Emes represents a Kedusha that goes from Aleph to Tav, it's the Kollel of everything, that shows that that could be a nickname for Keser. No question. This Oyer of Emes, which Rabbi Nezal brings in the Kut Imran, is that which could take a person out of any Chayshech whatsoever. He must be referring to this light of Keser, this highest, highest of lights. Baruch Hashem, we're going to hold it here for now. We have much, much more to say on this Torah. Hopefully in the next year we're going to prepare it. But what we tried to do here was just to give a little flavor for the level of depth. In other words, how Rabbeinu Zal Sforim complement the Sifrei Kabbalah. We mentioned this many times, that how do the Hasidim fit into the age of the Mekubalim? The Hasidim were the ones who took the wisdom of the Mekubalim and prepared it for the masses. The Chochmas HaKabbalah was something that was hidden. There were 2-3 people in a generation that were able to study it. The Arizal put it into writing, but it's still writing that how many people can read this? The Hasidim came along. The Rabbeinu Zal, Rab Nosson Zal, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Bnei Yisochar, the Rab Mendel Mirimanov, these Tzaddikim, and they took these concepts of Kabbalah and put it into practical application that could apply to a year, to a Tzaddik Rosh, Yomim Tovim, concepts of the Chumash. They explained the whole Chumash in a manner where they took the Chochmas HaKabbalah and laid it out like a table that could apply even to all levels, top to bottom.
I don't remember exactly when.
By giving an introduction when we went into this, that I'm quoting a paragraph of the Kisri Arizal out of context, you understand? We're just discussing that paragraph that pertains to us. This is not, I didn't give you the whole Chochmas HaKabbalah in a nutshell, because there are a zillion questions that come up on what we just said. No question. I'm aware of that question, and Hashem should help, we should be zecher to learn much more, we'll understand how to reconcile all of those things, because they are all very reconcilable. It's just that we know next to nothing about this wisdom. Therefore, we just have to take the little bits and pieces that Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nachman Shmuel Zal, these people allow us, permit us to look at little pieces, bite-sized pieces of this thing, just to show us how these two blend together so well. That's what we try to look at, learn, understand, and apply. Main thing, apply, Lamaisa.
Let's say a person could Hasidic, you know, that they also explain it. I mean, what's the Chiddush? I mean, why can't I be a Jew, you know, in totality without coming on to Rabbeinu Zal?
Somebody once said to Rav Nosson Zal that I heard that people are saying that you once said that if a person doesn't go, is not a Breslov, he's going to go to Gehenna. He said, no, that's not what I said. What I said is that if a person who is going to go to Gehenna is going to come to the realization that had he been a Breslov, had he had the advice, the Eitzes, and the assistance of Breslov, he wouldn't be over there. You understand? Otherwise, that's the punchline. Meaning, what's the Shaila? The Ariz, these are all spectacular tzaddikim, and each one of them is in a position to help a Jew. The tzaddik who is in the best position to help any Jew in this world, from the lowest to the highest, is Rabbeinu Zal, unquestionably. That's the punchline. Is Rabbeinu Zal superior to the Arizal? The answer is most definitely. In other words, he had advantages. He took the Arizal and stood on his shoulders and brought applied the wisdom of the Arizal in a manner that can take a Baal Tshuva who has zero access to the Kisvei Arizal, and he made it accessible to him. Plus, that's the punchline. That's what I believe, and that's what I've seen with my own eyes. I've seen cases where this light, the oil of Rabbeinu Zal, was able to be misaking people whom it seems that nobody else could. Nobody had a shot at it. And it was only because there was zecher to find this light that it was able even to be misaken them, even to make them do tshuva. And on the other hand, there are big talmidei chachamim whom if you tell them a chiddush from the this sefer or that sefer, it doesn't jar them. And you tell them the teachings of Rabbi Nachman, and they're startled. No matter how smart, no matter how high up they are, they feel embarrassed and ashamed of themselves compared to what the bright light that's shown to them for Rabbeinu Zal. I'm talking from personal experience. Baruch Hashem.